This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself to see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies. The process only takes minutes and could mean hundreds more in your pocket. Visit progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states. Traditional banking sucks. A bunch of penny pushers with their ties done up to 11, charging you for accessing your own money? No thanks. That's why Chime is changing the way Americans think about banking. They offer fee-free rewarding banking and actually give you something in return for your money, rather than charging you to even look at it. They don't charge overdraft fees or monthly fees, and they have hundreds of free ATMs so you don't have to pay to physically touch your own money. In other words, it's built for you, not the one percenters. Plus, you get 5% cash back on Chime Card on a category of your choice. They even offer a really great savings rate of 3.75% APY. That's 9 times the national average. In fact, Chime members can benefit from over $1,000 of annual rewards fee-free. Friends in the US have told me they've never felt more in control of their paychecks. And who wouldn't want that? Honestly, guys, all of our American friends and most of our American listeners are already using Chime. And so should you. Chime is not just smarter banking. It's the most rewarding way to bank. Join the millions who are already banking fee-free today. Head to chime.com/redhanded. That's chime.com/redhanded. It only takes a few minutes to sign up.
Chime is a fintech, not a bank. Banking services for MyPay and Chime Card provided by Chime's bank partners. Optional products and services may have fees or charges. Stated annual percentage yield and cash back for Chime Prime only. No minimum balance required. Checking account ranking based on a J.D. Power survey published October 20, 2025. For more information on APY rates, MyPay, SpotMe, and travel perks, go to chime.com/disclosures.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, guys. How are we doing?
Hello.
Hello, everyone, and to everyone listening, welcome. We thought, what better than to invite our good friends from the podcast, The Upshot, when the worlds of true crime and sport collide, which is what we're doing today.
Yeah, because we've been following the red-handed episodes. You guys have done a few sports figures.
Yeah.
So we had OJ, obviously.
OJ most recently,
the biggie.
Yeah.
The juice.
That's
well worth it. I watched your version on YouTube, which is a banger.
Thank you
very much.
Really good.
And I have thoroughly enjoyed your more crime angled. I enjoyed your one on Gaza. Let's say Gaza was a standout one.
A lot of the characters that we tell the stories of have sort of crime adjacent elements. Yeah.
Which is why we, huge fans of you, but I'd say our most consistent like upshot listening was when we were on tour and we did a road trip around New Zealand afterwards, and Struci's partner, great guy, not a crimer. Quite sensitive, actually. So usually if it was just Saru and I doing Car Chronicles, it would be like some horrible child rape story, but Sam just couldn't quite. So it's a nice crossover for us.
Absolutely.
We had a solid 2 weeks of The Upshot in the car we got, it was like a nice meeting of the ways.
Oh, lovely.
So hopefully we can do the same today.
Did you try and smuggle some crime in?
West Britain is sweet.
You guys did it for us.
Yeah, we had a cat murder cover up was my favourite crime story.
Yeah, Jermaine Pennant, he used to play for Liverpool. I don't know if you came across that episode.
He was
going out with, what was her name? Jen Metcalf?
From Hollyoaks.
She had this fluffy sort of Siamese cat. And she went away for the weekend, and Jermaine had these two pit bulls or some kind of quite aggressive dog that, while Jen was away for the weekend, killed her cat, basically. And instead of owning up to what happened, he decided to bury the cat. He had to get like professional cleaners around because this cat was an absolute mess all over their cream carpet. And then she got back and obviously was like, well, that was my cat. And he just didn't own up to it. And my favourite scene in the whole story is that he went around with her putting up missing cat posters around their neighbourhood.
How long can you drag out the lie?
He revealed it in his memoir that came out like 10 years later.
You've got to hold something back for the memoir.
Yeah, Jen, if you're reading this, I'm sorry.
Oh my God. I think it's not crimey, but one that stays with me. Maybe I'm remembering it wrong because it's animal related. Was it Colleen Rooney who threw her wedding engagement ring into a squirrel sanctuary?
Yeah,
was it that?
It was. That was a good one.
That was a good one. But also, crimey ones.
Was there one to do with cannibalism? Am I remembering that correctly?
Well, I swear you guys have covered it. The rugby... No, you haven't.
No,
rugby,
everyone thinks we have, but we've never done it.
Well, you the rugby good. Cannibals in... It's so good.
Oh, it's amazing.
It gets quite... They start off quite, you know, they're dabbling in cannibalism, and by the end, it's like skulls as soup bowls.
Once you've started, you might as well go full Ed Gein.
So doping.
Relentlessly back to the real world we go.
Come on, guys. Know anyone who's done it? I was trying to think.
As in, like, taken
How
steroids?
Are we defining it? Yeah.
I think roids. I mean, we're going to get into the origins of it, where they were using stuff that I'm not sure was helping.
No, there's some quite questionable substances that they're putting inside.
Just recreational drugs. But I mean, you meet people in the gym, don't you, who are sort of roided?
Oh, very obviously. But especially when they have, like, the Johnny Bravo look.
Mm.
And I know, like, not everybody's favourite day is leg day, but I'm also like, how has this happened and nothing is going on here?
We just did a pod on clavicular, you know, this teenage guy who's, like, going insane lengths.
Oh, the looks maxer.
Yeah, looks maxer. So he bangs his face with a hammer. He takes meth to hollow out his cheeks. He's made himself infertile by injecting.
Took so many steroids, he's infertile and unable to get an erection. So then doesn't he take something like 4 Viagras a day
every morning to
be able to get an erection if he wants to?
That's what I mean. There's a lot of trade-off you have to make for this. And I'm like, the other thing I learned recently quite interesting is if you take testosterone, your body stops making it. So then you actually are like making the situation worse because it can make you infertile if you take artificial testosterone because your body stops making actual testosterone.
I can see that.
So just like everything just feels very like you're not seeing the actual consequences of what you're doing.
Mm.
But the look smacking, the face smashing stuff, is that what's actually happening? Or are they just doing that to sell this weird technique to kids and then they're actually going and getting filler in their face? Because is it real if you just smash your face, your like jaw bones get bigger?
Yeah, it's a bit of both. I think the hammering the face thing is probably not doing anything.
Yeah, I don't think it's like giving you this like sculpted, like chiseled look. And I think it's just a way to like make poor kids on the internet like smash their faces.
Yeah, and get clout.
So there's looksmax.org, which is basically the forum where they share all of their
tips
for it. And people upload, it's mostly 14s and 15-year-olds uploading pictures and then rinsing each other for how ugly they are and giving each other tips on how they can improve, how they can ascend.
Ascend!
me, Jack and George, our other colleague, uploaded pictures of ourselves as sort of 30, mid-30s. Yeah.
36
Rate me. Yeah. What did you get?
We got absolutely destroyed. You could probably find our posts on there.
Lower tier normies.
But we're low tier normies.
We're cooked.
One of the comments was just surgery, bro. That's it. Brutal.
Well, now you know what it's like to go to an all girls school. Been there, my friend. I have no sympathy. Yeah. Actually, I'm glad it's happening to everybody now.
Should we get into some doping?
Let's get into the doping. So I've put together a little history of doping to kick us off. Because history of doping, it basically goes back to the beginning of sport. So back in the Olympics in ancient Greece, they were taking magic mushrooms. They were taking these juice cocktails that were laced with opiates before races. Roman gladiators as well, they took strychnine, which...
Isn't that poison?
Yeah, so it's now used in rat poison. But it's like this like stimulant that if it's found in the bark of the poison berry tree. And they would take this. So it's like very toxic, but in small doses, it acts as a bit like speed.
Okay.
And strychnine, it became a bit of like an institution in doping, really. And it was still popular more than a millennium later when the Olympics was revived. And nobody needed a pick-me-up more than the marathon runners. So the marathon at the 1904 Olympics in St. Louis, it was particularly brutal. I've got a picture here of the runners on the starting line. Part of the reason it was such a brutal marathon is that James Sullivan, who was the chief of this Olympics and a bit of a sadist, he decided to use this race to test his purposeful dehydration theory. He basically had this idea that taking on liquids while doing exercise was bad for you. It would slow you down. And he therefore decided that his athletes would not be allowed to do that. He'd put one water station at the halfway point of this marathon.
To run a full marathon.
To run a full marathon.
And can I ask, I know this, I might be completely wrong, this might be quite controversial. Isn't that also what bodybuilders do? Like severely dehydrate themselves in order to make their muscles look more bulging? Like before a competition, I think like you shred and you don't drink any water.
Boxers definitely do for weigh-ins and stuff. For weight class.
Cutting.
Maybe he was onto something there.
But the bodybuilders just have to stand there, right?
Yeah, they just have to stand. They're like not, you know, and I'm, you know, I know it's, I'm like, you know, I'm not saying you're standing there. But when you're being evaluated, I think to get that like veiny.
Hugh Jackman definitely did that in Wolverine.
Yeah.
But weird if you're going to run a marathon.
When you're running a marathon, is not
suboptimal.
A good idea.
So you get water at how many? What 13?
So they
miles?
Had at 13 miles. They had one water boy. Naturally, they also decided to start the race at 3 p.m. in 32 degree heat, and the course ran over this. It was this like dry, dusty track. It went over these seven huge hills, and the runners were led around the course by a fleet of automobiles, which were pretty new at that point, and that might have been nice for the spectators to marvel at these new cars, but it also meant that they kicked up this cloud of toxic red road dust and exhaust fumes directly into the runners' faces. So one of the runners, who was actually the reigning Boston Marathon champion, didn't even make it out of the stadium at the start of the race, just collapsed vomiting.
Oh my God.
Another runner inhaled so much road dust that he had a stomach hemorrhage. Nearly died. 32 runners started the race. 10 of them had never run a marathon before, and 14 of them finished. So
that's pretty.
It's a pretty sadistic race that's going on.
Or maybe a marathon's just not that hard. Is what I'm
starting to wonder.
Yeah,
I think I looked up their times, and they're actually quite quick.
Yeah, so I'll come on to the guy who won. It's the slowest winning time ever. But
were they on strychnine at this?
Some of them definitely were, including a guy called Thomas Hicks. So he's an American guy. He was doing pretty well. He was leading the race at the sort of two-thirds, three-quarters mark. But he was severely dehydrated, as you would be. And, you know, he'd already passed the hydration station. He was, like, really struggling, and he started begging his trainers who were travelling in a car to give him some water. But, you know, they were pretty wedded to this dehydration theory, so you've got to try it out. They, though, had no qualms with handing over to him a concoction of egg whites, brandy, and rat poison, strychnine.
Oh, like a brandy sour with poison.
With brandy sour with rat poison. Yeah, it sounds delicious.
As the weather gets warmer, the absolute last thing I want to be dealing with is uncomfortable underwear. Thankfully, I can rely on Honeylove to keep me cool, comfy, and supported. Honeylove is an independent, female-founded brand, and all their products are intelligently designed by women who actually wear them. Got a big party coming up? I know it's wedding season. Honeylove shapewear is designed to move with you, so you can say goodbye to that pesky shapewear we all know rolls down as soon as you hit the dance floor. My personal favorite is the Cloud Embrace bra, a modern wireless t-shirt bra with sturdy, light-padded foam cups that feel like a cloud against the skin. No more sweating on the tube with a painful wire digging into your ribs. Treat yourself to the most advanced bras and shapewear on the market. Use our exclusive link to save 20% off Honeylove at honeylove.com/redhanded. That's honeylove.com/redhanded. After you check out, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Experience the new standard in comfort and support with Honeylove. Starting a new business is notoriously difficult. Not only do you have the intricacies and admin of actually launching your money-making endeavor, but you also have all of that self-doubt and fear to contend with. What if nobody likes my product? What if I can't make it work? Well, unfortunately, I can't answer those questions. But I can recommend something to make your business journey a lot easier. Shopify. Shopify is the commerce platform behind millions of businesses around the world and 10% of all e-commerce in the US. From household names like Gymshark to Skims and brands just getting started. So start your journey with your own design studio. With hundreds of ready-to-use templates, Shopify helps you build a beautiful online store that matches your brand style. What if people haven't heard about my brand? Don't worry, Shopify helps you find customers with easy-to-run email and social media campaigns. And what if I get stuck? Well, Shopify's always around to share advice with their award-winning 24/7 customer support.
And did I mention that iconic purple ShopPay button that's used by millions of businesses around the world? It's why Shopify has the best converting checkout on the planet. It's time to change those what-ifs into with Shopify today. Sign up for your $1 per month trial today at shopify.com/redhanded. Go to shopify.com/redhanded. That's shopify.com/redhanded. As the weather gets warmer, the absolute last thing I want to be dealing with is uncomfortable underwear. Thankfully, I can rely on Honeylove to keep me cool, comfy, and supported. Honeylove is an independent, female-founded brand, and all their products are intelligently designed by women who actually wear them. Got a big party coming up? I know it's wedding season. Honeylove shapewear is designed to move with you, so you can say goodbye to that pesky shapewear we all know rolls down as soon as you hit the dance floor. My personal favorite is the Cloud Embrace bra, a modern wireless t-shirt bra with sturdy, light padded foam cups that feel like a cloud against the skin. No more sweating on the tube with a painful wire digging into your ribs. Treat yourself to the most advanced bras and shapewear on the market. Use our exclusive link to save 20% off Honeylove at honeylove.com/redhanded. That's honeylove.com/redhanded. After you check out, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Experience the new standard in comfort and support with Honeylove. Starting a new business is notoriously difficult. Not only do you have the intricacies and admin of actually launching your money-making endeavor, but you also have all of that self-doubt and fear to contend with. What if nobody likes my product? What if I can't make it work? Well, unfortunately, I can't answer those questions. But I can recommend something to make your business journey a lot easier. Shopify. Shopify is the commerce platform behind millions of businesses around the world and 10% of all e-commerce in the US, from household names like Gymshark to Skims and brands just getting started. So start your journey with your own design studio. With hundreds of ready-to-use templates, Shopify helps you build a beautiful online store that matches your brand's style. What if people haven't heard about my brand? Don't worry, Shopify helps you find customers with easy-to-run email and social media campaigns. And what if I get stuck? Well, Shopify's always around to share advice with their award-winning 24/7 customer support. And did I mention that iconic purple ShopPay button that's used by millions of businesses around the world? It's why Shopify has the best converting checkout on the planet. It's time to change those what-ifs into with Shopify today. Sign up for your $1 per month trial today at shopify.com/redhanded. Go to shopify.com/redhanded. That's shopify.com/redhanded.
And it sort of worked in a way. He managed to keep going and he turned up at the stadium, but by that time he was in no fit state to run, really. So one of the race officials gave an interview afterwards where he said that when Thomas Hicks came down the home straight, his eyes were dull, lusterless. The ashen colour of his face and skin had deepened. Which
he's been poisoned.
That's not
and run a marathon.
That's not a well man.
And maybe has salmonella.
Yeah, I'm quite sure. And as he was coming down the home straight, he started hallucinating and thought that the finish line was still 20 miles away. So he lay down on the home straight and tried to get curl up and go to sleep. But his trainers caught up with him, lifted up and basically carried him across the line. At which point he collapsed. And apparently after he collapsed, the race was over and he was still on the ground. His legs were still moving
like a
in
dog.
The air as if he was running. That is not a well man.
Can I just ask, what are they trying to prove?
Yeah, he basically thought that drinking water while doing exercise would slow you down.
It can be quite uncomfortable.
Yeah, I mean, if you're consuming that much, if you consume like a bucket of water, then I can see that it's sort of sloshing around inside you. But I would argue it's also quite key.
It feels almost
especially
like,
in 32 degree heat when you're sweating buckets.
It feels almost like anti-doping. It's like, how can we make this even harder for you to do this?
Yeah, exactly.
Would everybody watch that instead of the enhanced games where like, how far can somebody go if we give them everything they want versus like, how far can people go if we give them nothing, absolutely nothing, like starvation Olympics. Mm. I don't know. I don't want to watch that.
Squid Game.
Such a Squid Game. So he ends up, he does finish the race. They give him a gold medal, which is nice.
That's nice.
He finishes in 3 hours, 28 minutes.
Fuck, that's
which
fast.
Which actually is pretty fast.
Yeah, he got carried.
He did get carried across the line and it was carried.
He could do it if he was carried. He was running to water. He was like, I have to finish this.
Slowest winning time in Olympic history for a marathon.
Really? It's still quite fast. I bet the guys in the cars were just glugging water the whole way around.
Yeah, it was pretty cruel. By the 1930s, though, athletes had largely moved on from strychnine. I'm sure there was still a bit of it about. But the drug of choice by that point was methamphetamine, which at that point it was legal. You could buy it over the counter. It was like a nasal congestant some kind of thing.
Keeps you up for 2 days, but,
but your nose will be clear.
The Nazis were quite into it, weren't they?
Yeah, they were.
We did a whole shorthand on how the Nazis invented meth in order to like give to all their frontline soldiers so that they would just keep fighting.
Just stay away.
Yeah.
Genius.
It's hard.
Clean the house or...
Yeah. It's hard to beat an army that is British. All on meth.
Yeah. Quite terrible.
Managed it.
Yeah, I was going to say. Well, we did it. Fuck you.
Actually, alongside the Nazi frontline officers, it was also the squad of Wolverhampton Wanderers were also on it in the 1930s. Sort of the two big forces of the era, really, Frank. So they were on meth until their manager, a guy called Frank the Major Buckley, found something stronger: monkey testicles. So
surely harder to get your hands on.
Well, around this time, it was actually surprisingly easy. So the major had got this idea from a French surgeon by the name of Sergei Voronoff. And Voronoff had come up with this theory that basically grinding up animals' bollocks and injecting them into humans would help stop aging. Mm. And in the 1920s, this became quite popular. He was implanting monkey testicle tissue into his patients' scrotums. He claimed that improved sex drive, vision, memory, and just generally prolonged the life. He had this monkey farm in Italy where these poor monkeys were getting farmed, harvested for their testicles.
Because obviously at that time, we've done a lot of stuff around like that era of time when like in the West, there was this big like looking to the East for a lot of answers and like that Eastern mysticism and spiritual and alternative medicine. Like obviously Chinese medicine is kind of like traditional medicine is kind of chock-a-block with like, you know, suck on a rhino horn and you shall be erect forever or whatever. Was he like influenced by something like that?
That's a good question. I don't know.
This is my idea.
Yeah. So he tried it with various different animals. He tried it with dogs and he basically found that it did work. He tried it. To be fair to him, he tried it first on himself and really felt the benefits.
What a good Samaritan.
Shot it up in his veins? Or
I think he was injecting it into his balls, I think.
Just picking up on monkeys, are you aware of the monkey in Brazil called the English monkey because it looks like an Englishman? Have you seen it?
No.
That's why I wasn't texting and being rude. I was trying to find this because it's so important that you see this.
Oh,
not wrong.
So sunburned. Look at his little face.
I think they've harvested the testicle genes from like a bloke in Benidorm and injected it into
not in his natural habitat.
The Benidorm Cheltenham races where you sit outside all day watching the races. That's how you
So like this guy's injecting monkey testicles into people for like potency. What was that monkey trying to achieve by injecting himself with a Benadryl mask?
He's just going on holiday, man. He's just trying to have. He spent 50 weeks a year working his monkey arse off.
Yeah.
Let him have 2 weeks in the sun.
Yeah, I don't think if I saw that monkey, it's like when you know there's some restaurants where you go and you can like pick out.
I want that
lobster. I want that. Fish, whatever.
Would that be the
that
monkey
cow.
You picked?
And then if you like go down to Sergei Voronov's monkey farm and you sort of you're looking around and say, like, so I think we're gonna do it for this one. It's like, do you have any other monkeys?
It's on a sliding pay scale, you know. How much you got?
So yeah, this technique became actually pretty fashionable in high society in the 1920s, sort of the Ozempic of this day. At one point, he actually evolved from monkeys to humans and started implanting the testicles of executed criminals into his wealthy clients, which it's hard to believe that happened, but it
just
did.
Just feels like that episode of The Simpsons when Homer gets Snake's hair.
Oh, yeah.
And then he becomes a killer. Well, I'd rather have the red-faced monkey than some sort of executed prisoner's testicles, yeah, maybe. Yeah. But I'm not a man. I don't know. What do you want?
Are you getting more testicles then? Do I now have four?
Probably also easier to get
them.
Yeah,
do you have to swap them out? That's a good question.
Voronoff's got like 20 rattling around in their pool table.
Yeah, and do you, is it like there? Like, do you take on the characteristics of the...
Seen enough horror films. Yeah, and the Simpsons.
That's a good premise.
That happens.
But were people executed? This question for you guys, maybe. Were people executed for stuff that wasn't that bad back then?
Oh yeah.
So it could be like a thief.
Yeah.
Maybe. What year? What year are we talking? What year? 20s?
This was 1920s, 30s.
Oh, all sorts. So, deserting.
Yeah, a spy for like the Soviets or something. I'll have his. Anthony Blunt's testicles, please.
He was trying that for a little while, but unfortunately the demand outstripped the supply for felon balls. So he's back to doing it with monkeys. And the major, this manager of Wolverhampton Wanderers, which is why we're talking about this, there is a sport.
Where are we?
He heard about this treatment and decided to try it out on himself. And he did it for 3 months and loved it. Never felt better. He introduced that to his squad, and before long, most of the squad were getting these jabs 3 times a week.
Amazing. Can I ask, at the time, where were they in the divisions?
Wolves were a decent side.
Right. They were known to be very aggressive, I think. That makes a lot of sense.
they were a good team, but not, they weren't like,
okay,
weren't the best
tier
team in the country. But lo and behold, after these procedures, they began to go on an incredible run.
What?
So they smashed Everton 7-0. They beat Leicester 10-1. Some of their opponents did begin to get a little bit suspicious. So one of the Everton players after the game complained that one of his opposite number had this sort of glazed expression.
Like a monkey.
Yeah, after the Leicester game, when they beat Leicester 10-1, the Leicester players complained to their local MP that something was up, but nothing was done about it. And eventually, a few other teams decided, you know, this is clearly working for Wolves. We should get involved, including Portsmouth. And then when the 1939 FA Cup rolled around, it was no surprise to those in the know that the finalists were Wolves and Portsmouth.
No way. Sponsored by Monkey.
Sponsored. So the press dubbed it the Monkey Gland Final.
So everyone knew what they were doing. This wasn't like a secret, like it was in.
No, I think by this point it had got out.
It's out.
Wasn't against the rules.
It wasn't against the rules. Like this point, no. Like,
they only just survived World War I. There's only about four blokes in the country. Let them have the monkey testicles.
Exactly. Yeah. We need all the monkey testicles we can get.
I'm just like, how could this possibly be working? Is it just the placebo effect? They're like, this has got to, like, there's like a thing where the more complex, like the ritual to deliver the placebo effect, the better it works. So like, versus just giving somebody a pill, if you're like, we're going to take the juice out of this monkey, we're going to distill it, we're going to put it in this little, and then you're going to inject yourself in this, that's quite like a lot, like, so I could see that could be quite potent
and also quite terrifying for your opponents as well. Reverse placebo effect, or I guess it still is
a psychological effect.
Well, it worked for both of them, so they both made it to the FA Cup final. Portsmouth won 4-1 in the end. But then obviously this is 1939 and Second World War kicked off. And sadly after that, the practice declined.
Was it not popular in the trenches?
I don't know if they had time for that in the trenches.
Nazis got their meth.
Yeah. We've got our monkey testicles.
Hitler, he also injected himself with a ball semen.
Oh really? Oh, same idea, surely.
Yeah, well, only one ball, famously.
Yeah. So he really,
really needed it.
Scrotum injection or veins?
Good question. Not sure. He had a very discreet doctor, but I'm sure.
Was he on like everything?
All of it.
What, like heroin as well?
Heroin, I don't think so. I think he was more an uppers guy.
Okay.
Had a lot to do.
Party animal. So the monkey glands then ceased
after
to be.
After that, the Sergei Voronov's technique sort of went out of fashion a little bit.
A lot of techniques went out of fashion. Has it ever been tested? You know, has anyone
I think it's been disproven.
Oh, bummer.
Yeah. There's only one way to find out, really, isn't
there? Yeah.
Were they getting the sperm out?
They were taking basically like tissue samples from the, how I understand it.
Okay.
Taking like tissue samples from the monkey's balls and transplanting that into
any tissue.
Yeah.
You said at one point you said they ground them. I was picturing a pestle and mortar.
Yeah.
I feel like this is not a replicatable process that they were running.
In Hans Games, now's the time. Yeah. This is what it's for, isn't it?
I would love somebody to be like, I'm on Monkey Tusk. Old school.
Because is the Hans Games, I guess we're going to come on to it, but it's anything, isn't it? No recreationals.
Well,
nothing illegal is what it's meant to be. So you can use things like, my understanding is like off-label stuff for this, but nothing that's illicit.
But also nobody is telling anybody else what they're on because they don't want protocol stealing in between competitors. So like James Magnuson has like gone on radio shows or like said to the Sydney Morning Herald like what his like what he is taking, but it's like you don't have to declare what it is.
And they're also not going to test them, are they?
Well,
quite a fun element if they then reveal at the end.
Like a box.
Yeah, like, but I guess that is your key edge.
Yeah, I think that's the thing is they want to keep their like secret potions of like what worked.
That's going to get fruity. I could see monkey glands being experimented with.
Yeah, why not?
Heard it here first.
So that's a few of the ancient doping stories.
I just love the fact that they would do like poison. Just poison.
Rat poison, monkey testicles. It's quite...
Give it a shot.
In order for it to be like not allowed at the Olympics, does it have to be proven to actually work well? Like, would an athlete be like eliminated?
Good question.
If they were using something that like monkey just didn't work,
yeah.
There was a guy at the winter, at the first winter Olympic drug ban, was a snowboarder who was smoking weed, wasn't it? But then they banned him, and then it turned out that actually they hadn't listed weed as like one of the banned drugs. Yeah. I think it is now.
Yeah, no. That was actually when we were watching the winter Olympics this time, and it was like you talk about like the other athletes, and they're like, this is what time I woke up. This is my exercise regime. This is what I ate for breakfast. These are all supplements I take. And then the snowboarders are like, I smoked this much weed.
Ice cream for breakfast. Yeah. Monster energy.
I think it was the first Olympics where snowboarding was included, which I really like. Because like apparently like Winter Olympics was quite stuffy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the skiers were a bit snobby about the snowboarders. It's like, we can't have the snowboarders coming in. And eventually, you know, like, look, we need to open this up to the kids, like, get some more eyes on the Olympics. And first winner is just like, he's just disqualified straight away for
stanking weed.
But this is my question, kind of coming off what Hannah's saying, is like, if you can use things that aren't proven to work, but also what if you're using something that I would feel like, if I'm not a snowboarder. I've never done it in my life, but I can only assume if I did it while I was stoned, I would be worse at it.
Yeah.
Why isn't he allowed to use something that would just make him worse? Or does it make him better? Mm.
Well, there's quite a lot of that. There's like people get caught doing coke and then get banned. Because it sets a bad example, I guess.
Yeah.
I see.
Darts and snooker in the 80s, and they were just necking pints the whole game. What was his name? Bill Werbenuck or something. He drank 50 beers a day or something.
He could claim five a day against his taxes. Yeah. It was like for work.
Basically, it was to like, because he had tremors probably because he was drinking 50 beers a day. But in order to play snooker, he needed five pints steady his hand.
It does help a bit though, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think it definitely does.
I can't say I've ever watched either, but I feel like it's lost its charm.
Yeah. It's too professional, like all sport. Speaking of ultra-professional sports, cycling. Doper's paradise. I think when you think of doping, running and cycling often the biggies. But actually, cycling started off just as kind of wacky races as the marathon that Zach described. So cycling basically began in the modern sense in the 1890s when the bike with the pedals and the chain came up. Before that, it's penny farthing. Can't be competitive sport on something that looks like that. But the safety bicycle comes out and that's the big moment. And very quickly, competitive events start. And the first really popular one was endurance races, which is just indoor laps of a track for 6 days straight. So you're allowed to get off and eat and sleep, but obviously you're losing
precious time.
So the cyclists very quickly just devise a cocktail of drugs so that they can do 24 hours a day for 6 days.
That is surely having a heart attack after one.
So apparently the poisons were strychnine, as always.
Classic.
Take that as red. And cocaine. Because cocaine as well was over the counter, right?
Oh, everywhere, yeah.
Yeah, so you just sort of buy it and, I guess, rub it on your gums or whatever they were doing. So they were just at it for 6 days straight. Basically on like a bender, but cycling.
Also, like, what is the point? Yeah. What is the point of that? Like, I don't want to take away from anybody who's doing endurance cycling, but I'm like, who wants to watch that?
Yeah.
Who cares that much? and to the point that you're like driving these people to like stay awake for 6 days and take yeah. all of these drugs. I'm just like, is it worth it?
Well, I think there's two explanations. One is male dick measuring, which you can never rule out as a factor in anything. And the other is betting. I think it became a big...
Okay.
Because there was also pedestrianism, which was people walking laps.
Yeah.
And that got like really nasty. People started setting yeah. up bookies and then there were like brothels and stuff. It got like really out of hand.
And cycling is the most data-driven sport.
Oh, okay. Mm.
Which is why it attracts autistic men.
Yeah.
Like, my friend of mine is real into it, and every birthday I'm like, I don't want to go. Don't make me sit in the room with these men and talk about the Tour de France.
Would they happily just do laps for 6 days straight then?
They would happily do laps, never speak to another human being.
Mm. Yeah, that's also a factor, isn't
they
it?
They just want their whoop. That's yeah. all they want. Yeah. Just want chat whoop.
Well, anyway, as you can imagine, these cokeheads who are also doing rat poison, a lot of them fell ill.
No.
So there were loads.
I feel like got poisoned themselves.
Yeah, poisoned themselves. Died. So there were loads of them who would just like fall off the bike, crash. A lot of them were just like full psychosis, hallucinating.
Oh, so this is where people are really watching. It's like when people say they're watching F1 for the cars, but they're actually watching yeah. for the crashes.
Yeah,
they're watching crashes. For the people falling off the bikes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. So I think it was the New York Times reporting on it at the time, and they said, the riders are becoming peevish and fretful. And then they said the winner was like a ghost, his face as white as a corpse, his eyes no longer visible because they'd retreated into his skull.
This is an elite athlete. Yeah.
Classic. Strychnine poisoning.
Yeah. 6 days.
Good news is you could get Valium over the counter back then, so you'd be right as rain in about 2 hours. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Just
take the edge off.
Yeah, there was
balance it out.
There was definitely a thing going on as well of like balancing out with the ups and downers and stuff. But the endurance races end up banned. Understandably. And then a lot of the competitive energy shifts to the Tour de France. So the first Tour de France was 1903, and it was pretty savage back in the day. So much like that marathon, it was a lot of people who were just like, yeah, I'll give it a go. So the first stage was 18 hours, which for comparison is, in length, it's twice what any stage is now. And a lot of these guys had never...
But that was stage one.
Yeah, stage one of the whole
18
thing.
18 hours.
Yeah, 18 hours, just through the night.
They were built differently. Yeah.
And apparently, originally, no one really wanted to do it, but then they put up this massive prize money. It was 6 years' wages for the average worker in France.
Wow.
So suddenly everyone's like, you know, it's a bit of that, like, Squid Games energy. Mm-hmm. People are like, fuck it, I'll give it a go. Among them, the French rider Hippolyte Aucouturier, who he was kind of old school in a sense, because his way of numbing the pain from cycling for 18 hours was to just guzzle red wine and sniff ether.
Oh, nice.
Which how is, French.
Yeah, that's kind of chic, isn't it? Mm. Yeah, the red wine. I think ether's like an anaesthetic, right?
Yeah. Dentists used to use it, yeah.
What, and you just sniff it on a rag?
Yeah, but you have to be very careful, otherwise it burns your face, so you can always tell.
Mm. Because
it's very flammable as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it's in inside a house rules, that's what the guy's addicted to.
Oh, it's addictive as well, of course it is. So what's the deal with, what's chloroform, similar?
I think chloroform's just like less of a nice time. No, like pink cloud. I think you're just out.
You're just out. Because we always talk about the first Football World Cup during one of the games, the physio ran on with chloroform to treat a player, but he slipped and it smashed and the physio passed out on the pitch.
Oh my God, that's amazing. Yeah, no, I don't think you're having fun on chloroform. I think you're just asleep.
Can you imagine that? Whoever was on the field there, probably with like a broken ankle or something. It's like the physio.
Crawl your way over to him in the smashed glass.
To his puddle. Anyway, so Hippolyte, he's on the red wine and the ether. Unfortunately, he crashes out in stage one. Doesn't make it the 18 hours. The winner that year was a factory worker called Maurice Garan, who he had an interesting story because as a child, his parents had sold him to chimney sweeps for a wheel of cheese.
French.
Yeah. what a life.
What type of cheese?
I was wondering that. I think
if it's a wheel, it's got to be a brie.
Camembert. Yeah.
What would you sell your child for? A wheel of
not blue. Nothing blue.
Oh, I would only blue.
Are you only blue?
I'm just on my own at Christmas eating my blue cheese that nobody else wants. Why does nobody like blue cheese?
Yeah.
Just a bit overpowering. I wouldn't sell a child for it. I'd nibble on it at Christmas.
I think a really nice camembert. I'd probably swap a child for it, depending on an annoying child.
You.
Yeah, it's not going to be cheddar, is it? Surely.
Oh, a cruncher. A cruncher is good. Cheddar, yeah.
Wouldn't be in a wheel, I guess.
Mm. Do they not make cheddar and wheel?
Yeah, you can. You can get the big ones that they roll down the hill.
Okay. Oh, yeah, literally the cheddar rolling. Yeah. Okay. If it was like Port Salut or Baby Bell, I'd be cheesed off. did not plan that joke. I'd just like to make clear. Anyway, so Maurice Garin, really interesting character, and he he actually emerges as the front runner in this first Tour de France. And it's not, he's boozing and all that stuff, but it's not just the strychnine and the booze. He's also deliberately just shoving people off their bikes. At one point, he's vying with one guy for the whole Tour de France. And so he knocks the guy off his bike and then gets off and stamps repeatedly on the guy's wheel.
Well, I feel like Maurice is from the School of Hard Knocks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And he's also maybe the wheel, being sold for a wheel of cheese as a child. Maybe it's all like psychological there for him.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like,
yeah.
No, take that. Yeah, I could see it.
Yeah, it's a Freudian analysis of Maurice Garin.
This is what we do on Red Handed. I really feel like the wheel is...
You didn't know where you were coming.
Representative of his broken childhood.
Well, he wins it, so he avenges his tough life. He wins that first tour. And after that, everyone's like, oh, so the deal is you can just completely cheat in the Tour de France.
Mm.
It doesn't matter. So after that, it's open season. The following year, people are throwing like tacks, nails and glass in front of each other's bikes. They are, apparently a lot of them are putting itching powder in their competitors' shorts.
Seems like wacky races.
Yeah. Obviously in the Tour de France, people are also taking trains just to, because you're going across the country. So you just take your bike onto a train, cover the whole race, wait it out for a bit, rejoin the pack.
Oh,
that's part of the
course. Why bother cycling?
Yeah. Well, actually, our old friend Hippolyte Aucouturier cooked up a really good method. So he found a way to get towed by a car for the whole tour. Basically got really thin, like, fishing wire, so it's see-through. Attached it to the car, and then he had a cork on the other end, which he held in his mouth, probably from his red wine.
Yeah.
And just got towed the whole way.
That's amazing.
But he got found out because he crossed the line at the same time as the judge's car. So they started to clamp down on all these like wacky racers style cheating methods.
Wasn't there another one who had their trainers had water bottles that were filled with lead? So they'd have like their one that was filled with water, and as they they sometimes swap things. At the top of the hill, they'd hand him a lead thing so he's really heavy going down.
That is
and then at the end, you just chuck it off to the side.
I love that.
Yeah, I really rate
that's
that.
That's a good one.
I think that one really worked till he got caught.
That feels like good, clean fun.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, they clamped down on all the good, clean fun, but not the drugs. So after that, it became much more about actual doping. And in the 1920s, the winner of the Tour de France told a journalist, he said, "We have cocaine to go in our eyes, chloroform for our gums, and do you want to see the pills? We keep going on dynamite. In the evenings, we dance around our rooms instead of sleeping." So they're just fucked.
Wow. Cocaine in your eyes.
Mm. Yeah, is that a quicker way?
Mm.
You know, like a tequila shot in the eye?
Mm.
It's probably the quickest way.
When you just can't get drunk quick enough.
Mm. But that, there was a rock star thing of up the bum, wasn't there?
I was just going to say that. Boofing.
Straw up the
bum. Is it called boofing?
It's called to boof, yes.
Straw. Like a poison dart.
Mm.
I was about to name some rock stars I've heard did it, but I'm not sure that's confirmed. It's probably libelous.
As the weather gets warmer, the absolute last thing I want to be dealing with is uncomfortable underwear. Thankfully, I can rely on Honeylove to keep me cool, comfy, and supported. Honeylove is an independent, female-founded brand, and all their products are intelligently designed by women who actually wear them. Got a big party coming up? I know it's wedding season. Honeylove shapewear is designed to move with you, so you can say goodbye to that pesky shapewear we all know rolls down as soon as you hit the dance floor. My personal favorite is the Cloud Embrace bra, a modern wireless t-shirt bra with sturdy, light padded foam cups that feel like a cloud against the skin. No more sweating on the tube with a painful wire digging into your ribs. Treat yourself to the most advanced bras and shapewear on the market. Use our exclusive link to save 20% off Honeylove at honeylove.com/redhanded. That's honeylove.com/redhanded. After you check out, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Experience the new standard in comfort and support with Honeylove. Starting a new business is notoriously difficult. Not only do you have the intricacies and admin of actually launching your money-making endeavor, but you also have all of that self-doubt and fear to contend with. What if nobody likes my product? What if I can't make it work? Well, unfortunately, I can't answer those questions, but I can recommend something to make your business journey a lot easier. Shopify. Shopify is the commerce platform behind millions of businesses around the world and 10% of all e-commerce in the US, from household names like Gymshark to Skims and brands just getting started. So start your journey with your own design studio. With hundreds of ready-to-use templates, Shopify helps you build a beautiful online store that matches your brand style. What if people haven't heard about my brand? Don't worry, Shopify helps you find customers with easy-to-run email and social media campaigns. And what if I get stuck? Well, Shopify's always around to share advice with their award-winning 24/7 customer support. And did I mention that iconic purple Shop Pay button that's used by millions of businesses around the world? It's why Shopify has the best converting checkout on the planet. It's time to change those what-ifs into with Shopify today. Sign up for your $1 per month trial today at shopify.com/redhanded. Go to shopify.com/redhanded. That's shopify.com/redhanded. As the weather gets warmer, the absolute last thing I want to be dealing with is uncomfortable underwear. Thankfully, I can rely on Honeylove to keep me cool, comfy, and supported. Honeylove is an independent, female-founded brand, and all their products are intelligently designed by women who actually wear them. Got a big party coming up? I know it's wedding season. Honeylove shapewear is designed to move with you, so you can say goodbye to that pesky shapewear we all know rolls down as soon as you hit the dance floor. My personal favorite is the Cloud Embrace bra, a modern wireless t-shirt bra with sturdy, light padded foam cups that feel like a cloud against the skin. No more sweating on the tube with a painful wire digging into your ribs. Treat yourself to the most advanced bras and shapewear on the market. Use our exclusive link to save 20% off Honeylove at honeylove.com/redhanded. That's honeylove.com/redhanded. After you check out, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Experience the new standard in comfort and support with Honeylove. Starting a new business is notoriously difficult. Not only do you have the intricacies and admin of actually launching your money-making endeavor, but you also have all of that self-doubt and fear to contend with. What if nobody likes my product? What if I can't make it work? Well, unfortunately, I can't answer those questions. But I can recommend something to make your business journey a lot easier. Shopify. Shopify is the commerce platform behind millions of businesses around the world and 10% of all e-commerce in the US, from household names like Gymshark to Skims and brands just getting started. So start your journey with your own design studio. With hundreds of ready-to-use templates, Shopify helps you build a beautiful online store that matches your brand's style. What if people haven't heard about my brand? Don't worry, Shopify helps you find customers with easy-to-run email and social media campaigns. And what if I get stuck? Well, Shopify's always around to share advice with their award-winning 24/7 customer support. And did I mention that iconic purple Shop Pay button that's used by millions of businesses around the world? It's why Shopify has the best converting checkout on the planet. It's time to change those what-ifs into with Shopify today. Sign up for your $1 per month trial today at shopify.com/redhanded. Go to shopify.com/redhanded. That's shopify.com/redhanded.
So yeah, so they're doping. They're dancing around their rooms. I get the sense that some of that doping is just for laughs. There's just a bit of a like last days at Rome thing going on. Another writer says that he takes La Bomba, which is a cocktail of amphetamines and heroin. So you're going up, down and every which way. Yeah. Actually, I quite like his main rival is a guy called Gino Bartali. And he said, I just drink 28 espressos a day. Which
somehow that feels worse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The idea of 28 espressos makes me feel anxious.
Same. Whereas the heroin and
heroin sort you right out.
True.
Anyway, despite all this, the Tour de France does not ban doping until the 1960s.
Wow.
So it's had like half a century. I think that decade was when doping really got clamped down because the Olympics also did the same. 1967, war on drugs. And the first athlete to fall foul of those rules at the Olympics was Hans-Gunnar Lilienwall, who was caught, he's a pistol shooter. He was caught having two beers beforehand to steady the hand, like the darts players.
Yeah.
And they banned him.
Wow.
So I guess that was the point where, yeah, even booze.
Yeah.
He was breathalyzed because drug testing had begun at this point. And then obviously it's urine tests for most of Olympic history, which a lot of people have come up with quite creative ways to get around. So there were athletes who had like, you'd store clean urine in your armpit, under your armpit, and then have a tube down.
Yep.
And actually, both Maradona and Mike Tyson had prosthetic penises.
Mm. They Withernator, it's called.
Yeah, the Withernator. Mike Tyson's one. Literally just a plastic knob that you hide clean urine in.
You can still get them online.
I can imagine.
About 65 quid, I think it was.
And are they designed specifically for urine tests?
I presume so.
I guess what else?
Or
Halloween.
What?
But there was a basketball player who did it and he used his girlfriend's urine and they were like,
oh, no.
Look, you haven't been doping, but you're pregnant. So we've talked about doping for ages, but I don't think we've mentioned any sort of what modern performance enhancers, right? Mm. It's all been like cocaine and strychnine. But, you know, in terms of actual performance enhancers, that came quite late.
Mm.
And the Tour de France is where it was really pioneered. There was, for at least the first half of the 90s, everyone was at it and there was just a culture of secrecy. The main stuff they were using, obviously, steroids and then EPO, which is, it basically helps oxygenate the blood that goes to the muscles so that you basically don't get as tired in the muscles. Mm. That was being widely used with no one really talking about it until the 1998 Tour de France, which became known as the Festina affair because the team Festina, they were caught smuggling a carload of EPO and amphetamines, actually, over the Belgian border into France for the tour.
For the tour, yeah.
Yeah, so they're still doing the amphetamine speed. The whiz was still...
Okay, that was still the riders. It wasn't the steroids for the riders and then the team bosses afterwards. Yeah. They were just up all night.
And just a guy with a van behind them full of monkeys.
Yeah, the monkey glands. That can cross the border. But basically, these border guards catch them. They're like, right. So then within about 3 days, they raid all the team's hotels and they find like loads of these drugs. They find written plans on how to dope, basically. Like everyone's just doing it without even covering mm-hmm. it up. And suddenly all these riders start dropping out of the tour. So that year, only half the riders who entered the tour actually crossed the finish line mm-hmm. at the end. And there were loads of convictions as well. So loads of like big names in cycling basically got taken out by this, except a little-known Texan by the name of Lance Armstrong, who he was there that year. I mean, he'd had an amazing story already because he'd been diagnosed with cancer in 1996. The doctors gave him a 20% chance of surviving, but apparently they only told him that to give him hope.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
But obviously, we know he survived that and thrived. He won 7 Tour de France's in a row, 1999 to 2005. Were you guys Livestrong Band people? Remember them?
I remember that era.
So... I think I've told you this out before, really embarrassing stories. I really wanted one. I think I was like 14 or 15 and I like phoned around all the cycling shops in London and found one that had it and I walked.
Oh.
So I didn't have I got all the money, pocket money I had, which was enough to get the Livestrong band, but I had no money for the bus. So I walked to like St. James's, you know, like where Buckingham Palace is.
Oh, wow.
And there was a cycling shop there that had them and I got my fucking Livestrong band and like wore it at school on the Monday and no one cared.
But you care.
I was buzzing. Yeah.
That's the kind of grit that kids don't have these days.
Yeah, I was sort of the Lance Armstrong of my school, I guess,
so.
Anyway.
And I think it's like how, you know, our parents thought, I had to walk, blah, 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 to get water or whatever. Yeah. Like, I had to walk to St. James to get Livestrong.
To get a mass-produced silicon band, which were widely available about a week later.
You can tell your child that before you sell him for some cheese.
Yeah.
It was such a strange phase.
Yeah.
Just like every cause imaginable just had these silicon bands.
What was Scooby's?
Probably still strangling turtles today.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because those don't.
I'm sure though. They're going to be around for the next 500 million years.
The best one was like the anti-racism one, which was like the black one and the white one.
With their hands
combined.
Holding.
No, I think it was just a black silicon band and a white silicon band like that. And then you wore both of them and you were like, yeah.
There was a camo army one, I think.
I think so.
Yeah, I guess that was everything.
It became a thing.
But Lance kicked that off with his charity. So fair play, he raised a lot of money for charity. Of course, behind the scenes, he was using EPO and steroids to cheat in those Tour de France's. And he actually failed a drug test in 99, the first tour he won. But his team doctor covered it up. They wrote him, they backdated a prescription for bum cream. Saddle sores, common problem on the tour. And they basically wrote a prescription because this has steroids in it. So they were like,
Oh, of course.
Genius. Seems kind of easy.
Mm.
But word was gradually...
So is hydrocortisone classed as a performance enhancing drug?
Yeah, I think a lot of sports people can't have those creams and stuff because often there's people who accidentally...
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, wow.
Paul Pogba, didn't he? He claims that he used some kind of cream, I think, by mistake. Mm. And various footballers who've...
Say that's what their taken. Get out is.
Yeah. Mm. Was it Carlo Torre who took his wife's slimming pills or something?
No, Shane Warne took his mum's.
Oh, his mum's, that was the one, yeah.
Yeah, and got banned. Anyway, the whole team are in on it with Lance in the end. He apparently a lot of them didn't want to be and were basically blackmailed into not only covering it up, but taking drugs with him so that they were implicated. So it was all pretty nasty. And these journalists who were trying to report it got like hounded, sued.
Wow.
Everyone, you know, the people who were adamant that he'd never cheated. But of course, as we all know, it eventually unraveled and he confessed on Oprah. Where else? In 2013.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently that day he lost $75 million of sponsorship deals.
Why did he do it? Was it just like the pressure was untenable? Like he had to at that point?
No, I think to win the Tour de France on that stage, you had to cheat because everyone was.
Oh, no, I mean confess.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
I think it was too obvious by that point. People had come out and said, yeah, he forced me to. The game was up long before.
Oh,
I think.
Okay.
Do you reckon he got money for Oprah? Maybe.
100. That is how the game is played. Right, yeah. That's how she gets the exclusive.
Right. Yeah. So naive now.
She's like, I will give you 75 million, yeah, which is the amount I predict you will lose.
Today, you break even.
I actually think he's done all right out of it. Like, he's got a big podcast.
Still about, yeah.
He said, podcast.
Yeah, yeah, it's popular. Because to be fair, everyone was doping. So in a way, he's still...
Mm.
So apparently all his 7 titles are still unclaimed because apparently every other rider was doping. Like, there's a Vice article where they try and work out who the true, honest winner would be of the 99 title if it's not him.
Mm.
And they rule out, like, the top 20.
In a way, it sort of justifies the fact that he was doping. It's just like, everyone was doing it.
He was
and
just
if you
the
were
best.
Not, if you were not doing it, then
mm.
and he was
you're a mug.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Really.
Do you think he would do Enhanced Games?
Maybe not now, sure, but... he should. He'd be the face of the Enhanced Games. Surely he can claw back more than 75 million on that.
Has he?
Oh, really?
I think that's a smart move, though, for him. I think if he's on this, like, rebrand, I've got a podcast, like, I've done my time, I atoned for my sins, even though everyone was doing it, and then I'm starting again. I think if he goes back into the Enhanced Games, he's going to...
I'd love him for that.
I think he thinks it will drag him down.
Yeah, I think just... But at this point, go full baddie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just sure. Embrace it.
Give yourself a bit of an edit.
The BBC asked him like 5-10 years ago, would you, if you were back in 1995 and you could do it again, would you? And he was like, absolutely, I'd dope again.
Good.
Because otherwise he'd have just been sort of middling cyclist he's ever heard of.
No one would have bought your bracelets, mate.
Yeah, no one would have bought your bracelets. You wouldn't have a podcast now, would you?
True.
Sort of the greatest doper of his time, I would say.
Mm.
Yeah.
That we know about.
Yeah, that we know about.
Isn't there, there's... stat of the top 20 100 meter times of all time, and all of them except for 3 have been ruled out for doping, and those 3 are Usain Bolt.
Oh wow,
that would break my heart.
Yeah,
if Usain Bolt was a cheat. I love him.
This interests me, right? I am of the opinion that they're all still fucking doing it. They've just got better at getting away with it, gaming the system. The system can't keep up with the athletes developing ways to get around it, right? So I actually think that the reason the Olympics, etc., are so against the Enhanced Games is because if they're all doping and they're actually not much better than the Olympians, they're going to have to be, they're exposed, aren't they? Because they're all fucking doing it. So I really think that the Enhanced Games will be the same level, and then the International Olympic Committee are going to have to be like, so what that's why they're so against it. It's not because of sportsmanship, it's not about fairness, it's not about the nobleness of the game, it's because they'd be caught with their fucking pants down with a needle in their butt.
I love
it. They're all doing it.
Yeah.
So if you were to find out that Usain Bolt, for example, had been doping, you just said you'd be gutted.
Oh,
why?
Yeah, there's just a dishonesty to what you're actually seeing. It's like someone telling you that wrestling is screwed. That's going to go down badly with some listeners. But you know what I mean? It's like, oh, I'm being had here.
Yeah.
So it's actually a vanity.
I don't know. I think it's more to do with people dining out on this clean image of them as like, you know, I am this like this role model who's just done every like,
and I'm doing
fought my way to the top from the bottom, and
I'm succeeding because I take this supplement or because I eat this way rather than because I'm also supplementing.
Yeah, it's like we could all be cheating.
Doping.
Yeah.
Mm. Especially because sport has such a clean image now.
Mm-hmm.
It's more grating. Mm.
I would love sport to just have those old school, like Tour de France, that kind of cheating. That kind of stuff is fun and it's creative. It's like work smarter, not fast, not harder.
Yeah, no, it is.
Like fill your water bottles with lead.
It is.
Have a cork in your mouth.
Do you think that the negativity is what comes back to what you're saying about like the image, right? So it's like kids watching and things like that, it's like, oh look, they're taking drugs, and like they may not understand like what you just said, Hannah, which like they still have to be incredibly good to do it, but it's this feeling of like you can cheat your way to the top, or like there's a quick fix or like a magic bullet that will make you better rather than just like working really hard. Maybe that's why it feels off,
especially Olympic sports, the only way they're making money is via sponsorship. And what brand is going to sponsor you if you're cheating?
That's probably the best explanation. Mm.
And I think that in itself is a farce, you know? Like, it's all about finance. It's all about money. So fucking smoke as much crack as you want.
Amen.
Well, thank you very much. That was, I feel like I've learned so much. Thank you, guys. Oh, that was great. Really, really interesting stuff. So, hot off the heels of us saying we don't think the enhanced games are actually going to happen, Hannah and I are going to talk to you about the inaugural enhanced games. Let's see.
They have launched the enhanced games, which is just steroid Olympics, basically. Kind of not quite, but that's the easiest way of explaining it, with an Apple-style launch event. It's how that's been described internally. So they really are, it's about the spectacle. It's nothing to do with the sport. And the question they're asking is, what would happen if all of the rules of sport were stripped away? What could we achieve as a species if our hardest, fastest and strongest were allowed to chemically amplify their bodies without limit or recourse? I honestly have thought about that before. Like, if that truly was possible, which it isn't for reasons we'll go into. Is there a problem there to, like, just see how far we could go ethically?
It's a scientific sport, really. It's basically the athletes are much like in F1, like the skill of it, a lot of it comes down to like the engineers for the cars.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The most, obviously I'm not saying the drivers are also amazing, you know, like they're great, but like a lot of it comes down to the sort of aerodynamics and everything. Like, there's so much like science that goes into it. And this is basically the equivalent for doctors, right?
Yeah, it's like the ultimate biohacking, right? Instead of just like, oh, how can I make myself concentrate a little bit harder at work or do a little bit? It's like, yeah, take that, but then apply it to Olympians. So I can totally understand the appeal of something like this, theoretically speaking, for sure.
And also the side of it is like, could, because some of the athletes who are competing are retired and have been for ages, and then they're coming back to see if they can be as good as they were. Yeah. So it's that's also very marketable as a like, could a 60-year-old
Do the drugs not make you mental, like sort of Chris Benoit-y? Because that would be my only concern.
Yeah.
Can't you, roid rage, all that stuff, can't you go like pretty mad?
Yeah. And I think that is like a criticism of the enhanced games being like, what are the healthcare concerns?
Yeah.
But I question whether that's what they actually care about.
It's all happening among consenting adults.
This is what I was going to say. And I think it comes back to your reference of like the F1 cars. It's like the faster they go and like, you know, all of that. But then is it harder to control? And does that lead to you crashing it or something?
Yeah. Kind of all sport now is like a bit of that like Faustian pact of like they're performing ponies and people just want I mean, people just treat them like that anyway. So
absolutely. I mean, there was the really, really good podcast series. I don't know if you guys have listened to it, called American Gladiator. And it was about Aaron Hernandez, who was the NFL player who basically just like, you know, all of the brain injury stuff that was coming out of that. And then he kills someone and then kills himself. I think that's what happened with him. And yeah, it's basically like making the connection between like, how really far have we come from like gladiator times, where it was like, who cares about the well-being of these people as long as there's a spectacle and as long as there's like entertainment to be had. And yeah, I thought that was quite interesting. So yeah, in June 2023, the Enhanced Games website, enhanced.com, launched. And it launched with this like quite odd 34-second video clip that genuinely looks like it was shot in a primary school. You know, when it's like sports marketing and it's all very like epic and grand. And in a similar way, it has this like booming voiceover talking about this like proud enhanced athlete, that's what they call them, describing them as a true libertarian who has finally been given the arena to compete in, unshackled by all the pesky arbitrary rules of the International Olympics Committee. They're positioning it, as you can see, like quite like a maverick domain. That feels like the angle they're going for, and it makes sense. So just to like clarify exactly what the enhanced games are and like what's allowed, basically participating athletes can take all performance enhancing drugs they want. They can take as much as they want, and they don't even have to say which ones they're on. And that's because the board of the enhanced games are much more concerned with protocol stealing than they are about the competitors literally dropping dead. And I get that to an extent, because it's kind of like, if you're going to say it's going to be all out, like you can do whatever you want, and they'll be like, oh, but you can't do this, this and this, it kind of undermines the like full force freedom that they say that they're going for. So currently on the Enhanced Games website, There's this trailer. Like we said, it looks very strange, but they are promising a superior spectator experience for those who will be watching, as well as millions in prize money for any victorious athletes.
Yeah, so the International Olympics Committee and just about every sporting body under the sun have made it very clear that taking part in the Enhanced Games would be a career-ending move. So to push such a controversial event to actual fruition takes a special kind of stupid, blind arrogance, and loads of other people's money, which are things that Aaron D'Souza has more than enough of. The brains behind the Enhanced operation is an Australian-born career venture capitalist. Is there a worse type of person? Like all one percenters, Aaron D'Souza has dabbled in fintech, philanthropy, and he's also an honorary Moldovan consul. There's not much to say about him until about 2022, because he didn't actually do anything. Mm. Just had all of these sort of projects sort of flopping around, not really going anywhere. But that all changed when one day, he claims, he was in the gym thinking about all of the rippling biceps surrounding him.
And despite the stigma around taking steroids in the 80s and 90s, Aaron D'Souza apparently realized that everyone around him was totally juiced anyway. And he does a little bit of digging around, and he says that he discovers a couple of stats, that 14.83% of American men were taking anabolic steroids, and 95% of the NFL were also doing the same. Now, I do have to say that these stats are actually pulled from astonishingly flawed studies, but it's like the rationale that he uses, that everyone is doing it anyway, so like, what's the big deal? And he basically figures that someone's going to capitalize on this at some point. So why not? Why not me? Why not little old Aaron? And so, yeah, it seemed like the perfect time for him to pull the trigger on it.
Is he the money?
Oh, no.
He's the brains.
Never invest your own money. Come on. Aaron D'Souza decided that he was going to celebrate all things doping to find out just how far the human body could be pushed if the rules were taken away. After this brainwave, over the next few months, D'Souza developed the concept of the Enhanced Games and shouted about it to anyone that he could find. But he did have real trouble getting investors interested in his drugs athletic jamboree. Pitching to Lance Armstrong may strike us as tone deaf, but I genuinely think that because a conversation with Aaron D'Souza has been likened to talking to a bar of soap, Aaron D'Souza probably didn't notice. I can understand trying to get Lance on board, like when it's more of a concept, but to pitch it to Lance Armstrong, like, you know that thing that ruined your life? Yeah. How about, have you considered
being the face of it,
making it your whole brand?
It sort of already is, really.
Not many guys will lean in.
Yeah. So that didn't work. It was a no.
It was a no. For that, rejection at every turn. But D'Souza knew he was onto something. He also has a real problem with the International Olympic Committee and the World Anti-Doping Agency. His argument is that, like, they're rotten to the core. They're all cheating.
I think, yeah.
And I'm kind of with him. I don't think he's genuine in that belief. I think it makes a good soundbite. So he says he's on a campaign to expose the hypocrisy of those bodies, and he was going to take them down on his own with the help of his very, very, very rich friends.
So yeah, Aaron D'Souza very much like paints himself as sort of like the Robin Hood of doping in the sporting world. He's like, they're all doing it. They're a bunch of hypocrites. I'm going to like democratize this, and we're gonna be real about it. We're going to be honest about it. And that's like Hannah said, that's like his whole shtick. That's like his spiel about like how this idea came to him, like taking down big sport. But it's much more likely that he actually just probably stole the idea from a 2004 Wired article called Steroids for Everyone, which made a case for an enhanced Olympics. And this theft is one of the many reasons the Wired magazine is very much against Aaron D'Souza and the whole Enhanced Games situation, which is actually quite ironic when you discover that what Aaron D'Souza did to one of their biggest competitors, a magazine called Gawker. Basically, when Aaron D'Souza was a mere fresher at Oxford, he was asked if he could show a friend of a friend around the, you know, historic university town. And that friend of a friend just so happened to be co-founder of PayPal and Facebook board member Peter Thiel. And apparently, Peter and Aaron D'Souza hit it off straight away and they stay in touch. spending many subsequent New Year's Eves together, which, sure.
Is there like an age gap in that?
Huge.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, yeah. Like 20 years sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Noted.
Yeah, this story is full of people who are so unbelievably rich that there's only about 16 of them in the group and they all just go to each other's houses for New Year.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
In the late 2000s, it just so happened that Peter Thiel had a big gay axe to grind with snarky New York-based online publication Gawker. The site had a magazine dedicated exclusively to the dastardly dealings of Silicon Valley, which is called Valleywag.
It's quite a hard word to say.
Valleywag.
Yeah. Valleywag, yeah.
Well, now I have to say it again, and it's going to be even harder. Valleywag hated Peter Thiel, and he hated them right back, going as far as to compare them to Al-Qaeda, referring to meetings with Gawker editors as negotiating with terrorists. Fatal blow came in 2007 with the headline, "Peter Thiel is totally gay, people." Which was true and completely legal to publish, but left Peter Thiel totally fuming. The writer of the article insisted that Thiel's people had told him that there was no problem with the post. And Peter Thiel even donated $250,000 to the Committee to Protect Journalists the same year, stating that he was a true believer in the critical importance of free speech. Except when you call him gay.
Yeah. I mean, publishing it on the cover of your magazine, it's mid-2000s.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think even then, like, a British tabloid wouldn't out someone for being gay even then.
Yeah.
That's like 80s, son.
So when little snotty law student Aaron D'Souza presented Peter Thiel with a plan to take Gawker down, he was all ears.
It's a revenge story. At its heart, this is a revenge story.
Love it.
The plan was simple. If you have millions of dollars lying around and a spare afternoon, the problem was that Gawker hadn't done anything illegal. Peter Thiel can't sue them himself, but that doesn't mean he can't fund other people who do have a legitimate case against the publication. So all Aaron D'Souza needed to do for Peter Thiel was find a high-profile person with an actual case against Gawker, and then they could pay the law firms to pursue the online journal into the ground.
Enter Hulk Hogan and his sex tape. Times were tough for the Hulkster in 2006. So his radio DJ buddy, Bubba the Love Sponge, I don't know if people remember this story, this will all be ringing all sorts of horrible alarm bells. Bubba decides that what Hulk Hogan needs to, you know, get him out of this 2006 rut that he's in is a good old-fashioned shag. And that shag was going to be with Bubba's own wife. So, like, I don't know the ins and outs of this, but bizarrely, Hulk Hogan agreed to this cucky, adulterous arrangement. But he said, "I'm only doing it, I'm only going to fuck your wife if it's not filmed." That's his only stipulation. It was, however, absolutely filmed.
Mm.
And 6 years later, Bubba the Betrayal Sponge leaked the sexy footage to Gawker. And Aaron D'Souza, known then as just Mr. A, met with Hogan's attorney, armed with instructions on how to take Gawker down, and also fistfuls of Peter Thiel's cash. D'Souza was so discreet that Hulk Hogan himself had no idea that it was Mr. PayPal himself, Thiel, who was basically bankrolling his legal fees to take Gawker down, to the tune of like $10 million.
Well, so he was just like, "I've got an anonymous sugar daddy."
Yeah.
It's a Hulkamaniac. He does basically think everyone loves him, doesn't he? That's his whole thing.
It's like a level of like self-assuredness and confidence you would have to be like to ask no questions about who is giving you $10 million dollars to mount this legal defense.
Or are you like, "I don't want to know. It's probably Bubba, some weird kink."
So yeah, he asked no questions, he doesn't know, but the plan worked. And in 2016, a Floridian judge did award Hulk Hogan $140 million in damages, forcing Gawker to file for bankruptcy. Now, most of Gawker's assets were bought up by Univision, and Peter Thiel has also made some bids to buy up the leftovers, just to really rub it in, as you would.
So obviously Hulk's flawed Gawker, Aaron's the broker.
Yes.
And what, so he and Peter Thiel have now sort of proven themselves as a force.
Mm-hmm.
More importantly,
Aaron D'Souza has proven to Peter Thiel that he's a little bitchy bum boy.
Yeah, love it.
Who can
love
get him. Stuff done.
Yeah.
Yes. So, and Aaron D'Souza has proved to himself that he's not a failure and he can do things.
Mm.
And it seems people will give him literally unlimited money in order to make that happen. So the Enhanced Games gets pitched to Peter Thiel. Peter Thiel's all in. And that brings with it some explosive press coverage and a lot of criticism as well. Concerns ranging from health risks to sportsmanship. I didn't know this. Maybe you guys are a bit more au fait with like levels of doping. Apparently, testosterone can cause your muscles to grow so much that they separate from and then crush your bones. That's happened to an Olympic weightlifter. Yeah, so it's not like, I thought people were just worried about like heart problems and stuff like that, but it's apparently...
Well, and then you just sort of fall apart.
I think so. Like your frame can't support, like the human skeleton can't support that much. Because I don't know, like...
Yeah, I never thought about that, but it makes sense. It's like if you weren't taking enhancing drugs, your body can only grow like a carp. Can only grow to the size it's in. But then if you take a bunch of drugs and your body's like, and the tank cracks.
Can't you bone max? Can you not like... Because... Clavicula does the osteoporosis meds, doesn't he, to grow his bones as well. Maybe that's why.
Yeah.
King Clav.
The other criticism was that Aaron D'Souza had like completely missed the point of sport. Has he? I think that's what I really struggle with. Is like, what is point of sport? You know?
Yeah.
I feel like he's missed the point of sport, but not the point of like elite level competition, maybe.
Mm.
But like sport at the level of like, what it's meant to represent, I suppose, is like sportsmanship and working hard and resilience and fair play and all of that. And maybe that's what they're saying he's missing the point of.
I'm just a sport as entertainment guy. Mm. And those concepts are just devices to make the entertainment work. But I think, therefore, it's fair game.
Mm.
I'm a bit worried they're all going to go completely loopy. But apart from that, I've got no issue with it.
Aaron D'Souza has a different tactic rather than sort of defending the medical repercussions for his athletes. He actually says that enhancing and the right to enhance your performance is actually a human rights issue.
Oh.
I wondered when that was going to come up.
And started adopting LGBT language in his copy, describing his athletes as coming out as enhanced.
I guess they kind of are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are they just being discriminated against as a group, though?
Yeah.
Top level sporting people. Are they really, you know, fighting for representation? Mm. Oh, this is it. So on his website, there was for a while, it has been taken down now, a section dedicated to articles where the word cheated was swapped out for fought for science and bodily sovereignty. He's really trying to reframe as hard as he possibly
language
can.
Language matters.
Yeah, that was really good.
So all of this was a bit dicey, even from the start, but it wasn't enough to scare off another Australian, James Magnusson, the world-class swimmer. It was well past, at the point, like past his Olympic prime, I think we can say, was the first to publicly announce that he would be an enhanced athlete. On the condition, it's a very, very specific high dollar condition, that D'Souza would give him $1 million for breaking the 50 meter freestyle world record, which like, fair enough. I'd be like, that's a decent bet. And he apparently, Magnusson, bragged on a podcast that he would, quote, juice to the gills and break the record within 6 months.
And was that more than 6 months ago? Surely we're due a record, aren't we?
Oh, are we? Yeah. So, because as soon as he said that, Magnusson was, as Hannah said earlier, banned pretty swiftly from using any sort of professional sports pool in the entire world. So he basically has to train for this $1 million world record attempt in an apartment complex pool in North Carolina.
Really?
So it's just him and
25
like,
meter.
Yeah, and just like him and the like little kids at the apartment, like splashing about in there.
So is it even a 50 meter pool? Like,
I actually don't know, but I can't imagine that it is, because like an apartment complex pool is probably gonna like have limited
like,
space.
It's like one of those like kidney shaped pools,
and he can probably just walk along the bottom of it as like they turn the wave machine on every half an hour. So yeah,
can't train on Tuesday because there's aerobics.
He says in his interview, in like some interviews, that like, well, actually the weather was quite bad, so there wasn't anyone else in the pool.
That's handy.
Occasionally people would come and watch.
As the weather gets warmer, the absolute last thing I want to be dealing with is uncomfortable underwear. Thankfully, I can rely on Honeylove to keep me cool, comfy, and supported. Honeylove is an independent, female-founded brand, and all their products are intelligently designed by women who actually wear them. Got a big party coming up? I know it's wedding season. Honey Love Shapewear is designed to move with you, so you can say goodbye to that pesky shapewear we all know rolls down as soon as you hit the dance floor. My personal favorite is the Cloud Embrace Bra, a modern wireless t-shirt bra with sturdy, light padded foam cups that feel like a cloud against the skin. No more sweating on the tube with a painful wire digging into your ribs. Treat yourself to the most advanced bras and shapewear on the market. Use our exclusive link to save 20% off Honeylove at honeylove.com/redhanded. That's honeylove.com/redhanded. After you check out, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Experience the new standard in comfort and support with Honeylove. Starting a new business is notoriously difficult. Not only do you have the intricacies and admin of actually launching your money-making endeavor, but you also have all of that self-doubt and fear to contend with. What if nobody likes my product? What if I can't make it work? Well, unfortunately, I can't answer those questions. But I can recommend something to make your business journey a lot easier. Shopify. Shopify is the commerce platform behind millions of businesses around the world and 10% of all e-commerce in the US. From household names like Gymshark to Skims and brands just getting started. So start your journey with your own design studio. With hundreds of ready-to-use templates, Shopify helps you build a beautiful online store that matches your brand's style. What if people haven't heard about my brand? Don't worry, Shopify helps you find customers with easy-to-run email and social media campaigns. And what if I get stuck? Well, Shopify's always around to share advice with their award-winning 24/7 customer support. And did I mention that iconic purple Shop Pay button that's used by millions of businesses around the world? It's why Shopify has the best converting checkout on the planet. It's time to change those what-ifs into with Shopify today. Sign up for your $1 per month trial today at shopify.com/redhanded. Go to shopify.com/redhanded. That's shopify.com/redhanded.
But his whole thing during this training that he's doing is jealously guarding the protocol that he's using. Because again, that's where the money is. It's kind of like, I guess, like your little black book, right? The magic potion that you figure out that's going to work for you. But apparently he did spill to the Sydney Morning Herald that he was, quote, full of testosterone, BPC-157, thymosin, ipamorelin, and CJC-1295.
I feel like he's giving away the protocol.
I was like, why are you saying all this? But by taking this particular protocol that he is doing, and no doubt training in his North Carolina pool, James Magnuson put on 30 pounds of muscle in just a few months. I feel like that's quite a lot.
It's working.
That's a lot. It's working. It's doing the job.
That's
right?
A shitload, isn't it? That's like more than 2 stone.
Yeah, 2 stone. Is it 14 pounds in a stone? Mm. Like a big dog. Big dog's worth. Muscle.
Is that good when you're swimming?
No.
You're going to be 30 pounds heavier.
It would be good if you were, like, you know, clutching some lead bottles and going down a hill cycling. Exactly. But here, he was the strongest he has ever been. That's what he said. And he was squatting more than he had ever squatted. And he said, like, you know, he was in really, really good shape. But as you say, being super heavy isn't like the best thing for a swimmer. So yeah, it doesn't really feel like, why did you, it feels confusing as to why he chose that specific protocol to do what it did.
Or I guess maybe if it's all muscle, then maybe it counteracts itself by how strong you are at.
Maybe.
Real expert views.
I don't know. And I will take into account the fact that when he's doing this world record attempt, he has passed his Olympic prime, but he attempts the record attempt. And James Magnuson actually missed the world record by 2 seconds. But that is 1.2 seconds slower than his own personal best. After doing all of that.
Shit.
So yeah,
it doesn't work.
Embarrassingly, all of the illegal doping that he did actually made him worse. And again, I'll say, like, control for the fact that he had also aged and he wasn't in his Olympic prime. But still, he was saying, I've never been stronger.
Because he was pretty good, right, when he was legit?
Yeah, like, I recognize the name and I'm not, like, you know, big into...
Yeah, three goals, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
I think so.
Wow.
Didn't he get in trouble with the Aussie team for, like, the night before a big race, he was like knocking on people's doors and running away. And they send, I swear there's a thing, like, he did it and he did it to the relay team and the relay team lost the next day by a second.
Oh no.
And so he's like, he's quite unpopular in Australian sport already.
So yes, big sad for the first enhanced athlete who came out to the world and got worse.
I'm surprised that he let that time get out. Like, well, surely you want to hush that up. Was he doing it around the edge of his, like, round ball?
So he's positioned himself to be the face of the enhanced games, right? So his protocol is, he's working with them for this record attempt to happen, right? So, like, they really, really, really want him to do it. And the protocol is made by them and given to him. They're working in conjunction and they don't pull it off. And they bring in Greek Bulgarian Christian Gokhloumiev, who had just missed out on qualifying for the 2024 Paris Olympics by less than 0.3 seconds. But what I actually learned while reading about this is that all of the doping and, like, EPO, et cetera, that might add or take off, depending on what you want, fractions of a second. What makes the real difference is, you remember those wetsuits they were allowed to wear? That makes so much more difference. But because they're illegal now, nobody makes them anymore. So the enhanced team and the coach and these two rival swimmers are all trying to find the last of these wetsuits in the whole world and having arguments about who can wear which one. And Magnussen actually ripped one of them because he's so fucking huge. So not only are they, you know, blood doping, doing whatever, etc., all of all this growth hormone, they're also wearing illegal swimming costumes. Which makes a larger difference.
I love that that's actually the whole thing. Yes. Wear those shoes that got banned, 100 metres.
Exactly. And also, I think they sort of saw the mistakes they'd made with Magnussen. They made him too big too fast. So they kind of, they don't give away exactly what they did with
Quinn. Just like their monster.
Yeah.
Family.
Back into the windowless turret for you. Just in his ripped up wetsuit.
Yes, exactly.
Poor Magnussen.
You're just going to find him, like, wandering through the Swiss mountains. Like, terrorising. Like,
terrorising local, like, villages.
Falls in love with a local girl. It's like...
Being chased with pitchforks.
Yeah.
Oh, poor guy.
And it worked because Christian was swimming faster than Magnussen in just weeks in the pool in North Carolina. And after 3 months of the enhanced protocol, he snatched Magnussen's million. He broke the record. Shit. He beat the world record by 0.02 of a second.
So he's world done records. It. He's done it.
He's done it. Doesn't count.
Why?
Because he's doping.
Oh, right.
Keep and he's in the illegal swimming costume.
But it counts,
it counts in reality, doesn't it?
That's the whole point.
He gets his $1 million, right?
He gets his $1 million.
Yeah.
And he's quite, you know, rightly said, like, why would I go back to the Olympics? I've already made more than I would in 10 careers as an Olympian.
Yeah,
it's true.
Because the other sort of prong to Aaron D'Souza's argument is that Olympic athletes don't get paid fuck. So if come over to the enhanced games and actually make some money.
Yeah. So what now, can you go again? If you beat it again, do you get another mil?
Well, I believe he has beaten it again by slightly less, but in normal trunks.
Okay. Ah.
So he has still done it without the fish suit. Oh,
that's pretty cool.
That's great, he's done it.
Though I will say, if the whole point of the enhanced games is to, like, see some, like, superhuman shit, and this is the marketing thing for it, do ordinary people actually care that this guy swam 0.02 seconds faster? Yeah. Like, isn't it like you want to see someone do it like 20 seconds faster?
Yeah.
Which I know is like not possible, but like it just feels like, oh, is that
it? Yeah, because someone might break that, do that time again at like just the next Olympics. Just
yeah. You just be like, oh, okay.
It's a test kit. Swimming's quite boring watch anyway.
Yeah, it is.
This is the point I'm making. It doesn't make that much difference. Mm. It just doesn't. Mm. And that's why the Olympics don't want to happen. Anyway, the money behind the enhanced games isn't just coming from Peter Thiel's revenge pot, but also a psychedelic-loving Christian Angermayer, who's another VC who had his life changed by psilocybin, and he wants to sort of commercialize it and bring it to the... So this is where this is all going. This is just going to be giving us drugs.
He's got the psychedelics company, that guy.
Mm-hmm. He's a big funder, and also Donald Trump Jr.'s investment firm, which is called 1789 Capital, because the Enhanced Games isn't just a sports day for retired swimmers. It's a shopfront stake in the anti-aging and health industry, which is worth trillions, and that's what they're actually investing in.
Right.
Yeah, because I think the thing is with this, like, he failed to qualify for the Olympics, but then with the drugs did break the world record. So I think the thing is, if you believe, like, everyone in the Olympics is doping anyway, but if you don't believe that everyone in the Olympics is doping anyway, I guess the real test case would be to see Usain Bolt take a bunch of drugs and see how fast he could run. But because of the, like, stigma around it, we'll never get to see that. So it's like, this guy didn't qualify, but then he broke the world record. So it does make a difference.
It's quite a big jump.
Yeah.
So what they're actually doing, it's not actually about the records. It's all marketing. What they're actually doing is they're going to sell us a supplements line tied to the Enhanced Games as an event. They're going to suck us in with the spectacle and then sell us the shit.
Genius. Yeah, I like it more now.
Yeah. I'll buy a supplement.
So D'Souza has managed to pull in some very legitimate sounding people other than the enhanced athletes who are already committed to the event, like a man named Rick Adams. Do you guys know who this is? Why would you? Apparently, he's a former member of the US Olympic and Paralympic Committee who has now joined up.
Got some defectors.
Yeah, I'm coming over to the dark side. Mm. And he has said, and this is a very confident statement, he has said, I am confident there will be a moment when people forget there was a time before the enhanced games. Big talk. Big
so it'll just be, it will be the game.
Yep, yeah, it will
already is.
Listening.
So yeah. D'Souza is convinced the cultural impact of the enhanced games will change the world as we know it. And it could create a world, according to him, where a 60-year-old could be running a 4-minute mile.
That would be pretty impressive.
That I would like to see. So yeah, this whole like paradigm shift, this like it's bigger than just the games, it's like going to change the world. Plus obviously Trump Jr. backing it all has placed the enhanced games deep in MAGA country, and it's also aligning itself with RFK's MAHA, Make America Healthy Again campaign. And D'Souza often argues that the most harmful drugs are actually fast and processed foods, having done way more damage, according to him, than performance enhancers, which like, yeah, okay, but like they're also way more ubiquitous. More people are eating McDonald's than people are taking out all steroids.
Yeah.
And also, do you have to say that McDonald's and Coca-Cola are like lead sponsors often at like basically every sporting event in the world. And nobody has a problem with that. D'Souza also told the New York Post that the Enhanced Games is now a very American project.
Surely you're China into this shit?
Russia in. You guys are right. Why is Russia not in this?
You guys have done a really good job of taking us on a journey where I'm like, do I like the Enhanced Games or do I not?
Mm. I don't know.
Pass verdict to the end.
No, yeah. All right.
Okay. I think what the like bringing in of the Trump dynasty and the like sort of Americanness of it all, I mean, it's brought them a lot of funding, but also because it has sort of aligned itself with the United States government, it has actually got quite a lot more parameters than it originally advertised, because baby Donald Trump can't really just be like, yeah, coke and heroin, fine. So they're not allowed.
Mm.
So there are drugs that are
right
off the table, and there isn't like blood doping testing, but athletes undergo like brain scans, heart scans, stuff like that to check they are actually fit to compete, because if someone drops dead, that's not going to do like
bad luck.
Great PR. But ironically, it does mean that athletes will be tested more than they are in the normal Olympics, just for sort of slightly different things.
Would you watch it if it's on?
I barely watch the Olympics, man.
Yeah.
It's a one day event, at least.
That's true.
I could probably manage that. But I don't know. I think I don't want to say that all Olympians are doping, because I feel like I don't want to take away from the ones that aren't. I think they're all doing something, like you were saying. They're like testing for different things and it's like what you can get away with. But I think this is such a like a thought experiment that lots of people talk about. So I feel like it was inevitably going to happen. Like nobody's going to show it. Like where are they going to stream it? I think the stigma around it is so much that I don't know how they'll like overcome the monetary side of it. Like someone's going to constantly have to be bankrolling it, because I just don't think any brands are going to want to be associated with it. I don't know. I'm not that bothered. I think, you know, consenting adults, if they want to take a bunch of drugs and do it, but then is that right that they should? I don't know. And I do think it sets a better precedent, because I hear what you're saying about sport being entertainment, but it also means more to other people in terms of like that good fight.
Mm.
And this feels wrong, but I also don't know. I don't know if I care that much. I think if a guy broke the record at the Enhanced Games by like 2 seconds and somebody did 2 seconds less at the actual Olympics, I would be more like, I'm impressed by that.
Yeah.
By the Olympics than by the guy.
Yeah, they've got to blow them out of the water for it to be worth it.
This is what I mean. Mm. And I think if you don't, then it's kind of just like a bit of a...
Oh, I think it'll be good.
Okay. Yeah. Don't
baby dope. Yeah, I think it'll... how have they not used that line? I think it will happen. I think probably there'll be a bit too much swimming and the margins will be a bit thin versus clean competition. But I don't know, you can see it picking up. Now I understand the business model, Hannah. I actually think it has legs. So I think, you know, these things take a few years to get good.
I mean, that's certainly true. I don't think they'll stop trying.
I think you got to do, you got to do 4 or 5 and then let's see. Mm-hmm. So I hope they stick to that and hope no one dies.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think, I don't know, I can see there's such a world of like people who are, this like crossover of like crypto bro, like
biohacking,
like internet forum, like people who spend too much time in their mom's basement. There's enough of those kind of people who would be invested in this kind of thing that I can see it working. And if they do start to make some records and it gets some sort of like legitimacy, that it does become a sort of Formula One-esque thing where like there are like teams of doctors and scientists or whatever working to create these weird superhumans. Whether like ethically it's a good thing to do to humans is like another question. And yeah, hopefully no one.
And what's in those supplements
dies.
That they want to sell?
Yeah.
Probably to like impressionable teenagers who are like, you know, willing to smash their faces with hammers to try and get bigger cheekbones. I guess that's maybe where the ethics question
yeah,
is.
I don't have a lot of faith in the ethics of people who are trying to do that. But in a twisted world, I can see it taking off.
Okay.
I'm going to watch. We should do a live watch along.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be quite
good. You should. Yeah, it's only a day.
Yeah.
Take some meth, watch it all. Marathon run. So, to end, we're all slightly conflicted and some of us are excited.
I'm very excited. I've got absolutely no doubts about this thing.
Well, there you go. That's everything you need to know about the Enhanced Games.
Yeah. And about doping.
Yes. Thank you guys for sharing. That was very informative. I feel like I've learned a lot.
Likewise.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you guys.
If you enjoyed that, you've heard us bug the upshot before. If you do and you want lots more like scandals from sports, because that's the thing, I don't want to sell you guys as like a sports podcast, because some of our listeners are like, I don't really care about sports. In fact, I know they will say that. It's not what it's about. It's about like the scandals in sports. And I've honestly been hooked on this show for a very long time. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Genuine fans here. You guys should definitely go listen to them.
Thank you. That's very kind. And likewise, Red Handed, which is the biggest podcast in true crime. It's the only true crime podcast you should listen to. And there are, I guess I would dip your toe in with like an OJ, where it's like
it is quite a nice crossover, because I was looking at all your episodes and like there are lots of crimes. They do crimes. You're like 40% true crime podcast yourself.
Yeah, we had the Hamraoui one as well. But the you guys did iTonya as well. That's another really good sports one. But pretty soon you just find yourself sucked into the gnarly world of like a proper American murder. You know how George Orwell was like, there's like the classic British murder, which is like poisoning.
The cozy murder.
I feel like you guys do the proper American murder so well. It's like often a small town as well, isn't it? That for me, that's the like canonical.
I listened to your stomach strangler one.
Oh, yes.
Which was good. It was like, it was quite weird listening to one that I actually remember.
Yeah, we found that with them in the recordings. Like, oh, I remember that on TV.
Yeah, there's something more sinister about it.
Oh, I prefer true crime in a podcast like yours to watching on TV.
Do you?
Thank you.
Yeah, there's like, because it's just like you and the narrative. It's quite, I don't know.
I think that's why true crime podcasts are having like a moment, because documentaries are all well and good, and obviously Netflix jumps all over that and they do their big, big produced ones. But I think people just kind of like unsolicited like opinions from people like us who were just like, you know, what was it in that one? Simping, not pimping, or whatever. Like, they just want that kind of more homegrown feel, I think. And it's working. And yeah, thank you for the American stuff. I feel like they're just like the true connoisseurs of a good murder these days. I love a good, like, and we are really doing a lot of these where it's like spouse kills other spouse and then pretends they didn't do it.
Yeah.
Those are like the ones that everybody seems to love.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And yeah, and when you just can't decide which way around whether they did.
They're my favourite, if that's not too.
So that's Red Handed Podcast. Check it out if you haven't already.
Thank you.
Excellent.
Thank you very much. And thank you for doing this collab. We've really enjoyed it.
No, thank you. And it's been great.
Thank you. And we hope you guys did too. And we'll see you next week for something else where we won't be together.
Bye.